Psalm 72. I'm going to read the last three verses, 18, 19, and 20. We sing this a lot of times. Maybe we ought to get you to sing it. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Let's pray. Father, how we thank You today for Your word. We thank You most of all for salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank You that You're a merciful God. My Lord, You hear and answer prayer. We thank You for the opportunity to speak Your word to those gathered here this morning. And we pray that You would suit the blessing to the need of each heart. I ask You to give me a freedom and ease that only You can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a blessed psalm. And we sing lots of times on Sunday night and Wednesday night around here, verses 18 and 19. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. I tell you, everything God does is wonderful. Everything that God has done is wonderful. Now, I look about the salvation, how God has saved souls and changed lives, what He did for my life. Everything God's done is wonderful. And you just can't take and look out at the stars or look out at Earth or just get one of these channels on TV or pictures that shows you some of the animal kingdom and all the different things. Everything God's done is wonderful. Marvelous thing. But you know, as I read this week, the last verse is what caught my attention. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now, that's a tremendous statement when you think about it. Did you know there's going to be a day when you won't pray anymore? Oh, yeah. Things have a way of ending, don't they? Life, ministry, work, talent, houses, lands, nations. I've learned a little bit in the years I spent on this old earth. You know what it is? What goes up comes down. What starts has a finish. Things have an end. Now, I wouldn't want to go back and be 16 again for anybody. I wouldn't even want to go back and be 25 again. I'm looking forward to going to the other end. I got something better. I don't want to make all those decisions. I don't want all those chances for things to go wrong, to come back. I don't want to have to make some of those things again. But you know something? I also don't like the idea of coming to the place where the prayers of Lendl, the son of David, are ended. You thought about that? Hey, there's going to be a day I won't pray anymore. There's going to be a day I can't help you by prayer. You know, this psalm, it's a beautiful psalm. It really is a picture of Jesus Christ, but David wrote it in his mind for his son Solomon. David's an old man. He's ready to be gone. He's ended, and his ministry's ended. His kingdom is ended. His wars are ended. His life is about ended. Solomon, his son's coming up on the throne as you read what he prays for Solomon. And he comes down with his glorious, tremendous praise and benediction. At the end of it, he says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. You know, prayer is something everybody can do. Not everybody can preach. I think you got that figured out. Some people can make 5 minutes seem like 3 hours. Some people can't put two sentences together in a row that makes sense. Some people can't preach. I'll tell you, some people aren't good carpenters either. Some people can't nail one board to another and make them straight. There's lots of gifts and lots of... Some people can't play an instrument like that. Some people can't sing. There's a whole lot of talents I don't have. I've got a few talents, but a whole lot I don't have. But you know what everybody can do? Everybody could pray. Everybody could pray. Do you spend any time praying? David's an old man, and he comes down to the end. He's writing the last psalm he ever writes. And the last statement in it, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. What a finality. Everybody can pray. I wonder, do you pray? How much do you pray? And who do you pray for? When your kids go out on a date at night, are you praying for them? Mom and daddy home praying? Are you just ignoring everything that's going along? Do you just say a bunch of things to them before they left and fuss at them when they come home? Or do you pray? I wonder what would be done if you quit praying. What difference would it make in the course of your family if you didn't pray? I got to thinking about prayers and prayers being ended. Hey, Mom and Daddy, you ever give your kids to the Lord? You ought to. You ought to get down on your face before God and say, God, they're yours. Take them. Protect them. Help them, Lord. I tell you, you know, I didn't have a problem praying for my children. Sometimes I have a problem praying for you. You're not on my mind as much as my kids were when they were out driving cars and dating and making big decisions for their life. Well, they were on my mind. Do you know my kids are still on my mind? My kids are all grown and gone. I've got grandkids that are grown and gone. I still pray for kids. Still pray for my kids and I pray for my grandkids. They're important to me. There's something I want their life to go right. I don't want them to get messed up. I don't want them to get messed up in drugs. I don't want to get into this promiscuous sex. I don't want them to get into the filth of this world. I don't want them to get harmed and hurt by some stupid idiot that doesn't value life. Oh yeah, I pray. Do you pray? Do you pray for your kids? At least do you pray for your kids? You ought to be praying for your kids. Everybody can pray. You don't have to have a big gift or talent to pray. Yes, you may need a talent to play a musical instrument or to sing a song or to preach a sermon or maybe even to answer some difficult questions from the Bible. You may need a talent to build a house or to build a bridge or to repair the plumbing. Oh, there's lots of things that takes talent and not all of us have the same talents. Everybody can pray. God help us if we don't pray. You got 24 hours a day. What are you doing with it? Well, I'm watching television. Oh, I'm feeding cows. Oh, I'm changing whatever. But you're not praying. Maybe you ought to be praying. Maybe prayer is something you ought to do more of since you can do it. Everybody's got a talent for prayer. God Almighty promises to hear prayer. God promises to protect the innocent and the ignorant. We need to pray. Since God would let us pray, since that God that created this vast and wonderful universe that spoke the worlds into existence and put the stars out with the span of His hand, He's willing to listen to your prayers. You reckon you ought to find something to ask Him? I think you ought to find something to tell Him. I think maybe you ought to spend a little time in prayer since you can do it. Maybe the tragedy in this room right here this morning is that all of us could have our prayers answered. God would be willing to listen to our prayers being answered, and we don't even go to Him and ask. Boy, what a tragedy. To be in a place where the opportunity is, God will hear you. One of the names of His house is called the house of prayer. Jesus said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations." God hears and God answers prayer. What could be changed in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your children if you just begin to pray every day? Some of you, all you know how to do is fuss at your partner. You know some of you husbands? Instead of fussing and getting mad and upset, if you just started praying a little bit for your wife, you'd get a better wife. Some of you wives, you're always fussing about your husband. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. And boy, why don't you get down on your knees instead of nagging him and pray for him? Amen. Prayer changes a lot of things. Prayer's done a lot of good in my life. I thank God for answers to prayer. Prayer is one of the biggest doctrines in this Bible. You're talking about the volume of verses committed to it. There's hardly anything bigger than prayer. God is a God that hears and answers prayer. And everyone can pray. Why don't you do it? Well, here's David coming down at the end of his life. He's turning over the kingdom. He's got to give it to his young son, who he's afraid doesn't have enough wisdom or help to do the job. He wants him to have the wisdom he's got. Here's the old man. He's turning over the reins. And he prays various things for his son. What's been the focus of your prayers lately? As you look back over just this month we had a mission conference. This month we had not only this family, but a lot of other families of missionaries in here. I wonder, as you prayed, do you pray for missionaries? Do you ever pray for old Joey and say, "Lord, bless Joey and Brent today out there in the cold streets of Poland preaching the gospel. Lord, protect Joey and Brent. Lord, protect Billy. Lord, protect Roland. Lord, protect their kids." Do you ever pray for them to have more money? They could buy something a little better? Hey, do you ever put any foot to your prayers? Do you ever reach in your pocketbook and put something in and say, "Give this to Joey. Give this to Brent. Give this to Billy. Lord, help out old Roland and help out these missionaries. God Almighty, protect them today." What would happen to the church worldwide if nobody prayed? The finality of what he said right here just sort of struck me. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. What's going to happen when you cease to pray? Who's going to get left out in the prayer list? You ever thought about that? You know, everybody doesn't pray for everybody. We pray for people we know. We pray for conditions we know. We pray for problems we know about. We pray for burdens that are on our hearts. We pray for those that we love. We pray for those that are close to us. Everybody doesn't pray for everybody. We begin to pray for somebody we know and love because we know they have a burden in our heart. But what if, just what if nobody prayed for your family? You the only Christian in your family? You the only one praying for the salvation of your family? What happens when your prayers are ended? That just sort of struck me as a tragedy. What if I'm the only one in my family praying and I quit praying? What if I'm the only one bringing their names before the courts of heaven? What if I'm the only one pleading at the mercy seat of God and I quit praying? I don't have time to pray. I'm too busy to pray. I'm too lazy to pray. I'm too burdened about my own problems to pray for anybody outside of me. You know, the wonderful thing is God says you can come to Him at any time, day or night, 24 hours a day. You don't have to wait till He's open. You don't have to get some computer telephone somewhere that says push 1, push 2, push 3, push 4. And by the time you spent 15 minutes pushing buttons, you still don't talk to anybody alive. You can get up and speak to God and He'll hear you. Now let me ask you this. I've been thinking all this and I'm thinking in the sense of people who pray. Do you pray? Do you pray? Is there anybody in this room that would say, I don't ever pray? You know what prayer is for? Believers. Unbelievers don't pray. Some people say, I don't believe anything. They get in the foxhole and the bullets are going over the head and they start getting faith right quick, man. Lord, help me out of here. I've heard it said that one of the worst things about being an atheist is you don't know who to thank when you're happy. Might be. Do you pray? By the way, what are you praying for? Are you praying for anything? Would you know if you got an answer? Some of you pray so general, you never know when God answers. Now, I tell you what, when you get a prayer that you prayed and it comes in and it, after that, you say, man, it had to be. God heard my prayer. God answered my little old prayer. It increases your faith. I was a young missionary in Guatemala, Central America. I didn't think my Spanish was very good. But I really felt like I ought to get out with a PA system and preach in the streets and out in the small villages all around Quetzaltenango. And I said, Lord, but I'm sort of ashamed. I just don't know whether my prayers are good enough. I don't know whether my preaching's good enough. I don't know whether what I say is going to be right. And I said, Lord, I'll tell you what. If you'll give me $150, that's what a PA system cost that day. That was a long time ago. That was a little 20 water that went on top of a pickup. If you give me $150 in a special way that it doesn't just come, because I was a faith missionary, I lived by offerings. People gave me offerings every month. Give me $150 in a special way that I'll know it came from you. I'll use that $150 to buy a PA system and I'll preach on the streets and I'll take that pickup and I'll run to villages and I'll just use what Spanish I got. What Indian I know. About a month and a half, I put that on a prayer list. I had a prayer list I carried in my pocket, and I put it on a prayer list. Put a date down there. This is what I'm praying for. I'm praying for $150 special, different from all my offerings. And I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't write a letter home saying, I'm praying for an offering. I'm praying for something this year. No. I didn't write a letter to anybody. I didn't talk to anybody but God every morning. I'd pull out that prayer list, and I'd say, God, if you want me to preach publicly in the streets with the poor Spanish I speak, you give that to me. And if it doesn't come, I'll know I'm not supposed to do that. I got a $100 check from somebody in New Mexico that I have never met yet. The only time they ever gave me an offering was that month. Said, came in special, just a special offering from so-and-so in New Mexico, $100. A church in Florida said, we decided to send you $50 this month, one-time gift. Never got anything from them since. Never anything from them before. I sat down and cried. God hears prayers of people in Guatemala. And I was out there on an old broken-down, blown-off volcano when I was praying. And God hears prayers. You know what it is? I went down and bought a PA system. I put it on my pickup. And I went out still trembling. I thought, here I am, I got a college education, I've been preaching the gospel for years, but I'm speaking like a third grader or three-year-old in Spanish. But I'm going to give them the best three-year-old Spanish I can give them. And I started preaching in Spanish in the streets. And when I was in Guatemala, we were under martial law. The communists are real bad. They're wiping people out in the streets every day. I mean, in the papers, there'd be 19 bodies found, you know, mutilated bodies in a common grave somewhere. The communists fighting everybody. I needed somebody, because I couldn't tell. All I'd see was little men in green uniforms with machine guns. I couldn't tell a communist from a Mano Blanco, that was the right-hand group that was fighting the communists, from a government official. I didn't know one from another, and I'm driving those roads coming in at night. So there's a young man named Cesar Adan Herrera Piedra Santa. Cesar for short. And Eddie and Billy were young, and they'd caught his horse for him. And he came up to me, and he said, "Your boys are such great boys. And they've done this great thing, and they're so obedient, and they're whatever, you know." Well, I made friends with the guy. He didn't have a job. I'm scared of communists. I couldn't tell a communist from anybody else. I said, "Would you like a job? How about just going to me? All you got to do is tell me when I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time, saying the wrong thing. Because I have no idea when I'm going to get blown away." Let me tell you what, I was a little bit scared. I was just a little bit scared. I was raised on the south side of San Antonio, but man, communists in Guatemala looks rough. He said, "I'll go with you." Well, after 2 or 3 weeks, he's riding the pickup with me. Man, we're out in the big villages in the fields, and boy, there'd be 100 or 200 people out there working those fields. I'd crank up that PA system and start preaching. After about 2 weeks, he says, "I can do that." "Oh, you can? Yeah, I can do that." "Okay." He started preaching Spanish and Indian and whatever. Wasn't long, I got me a guitar. I was going to try to get some music, you know. He said, "I can do that." So I gave him the guitar and got me an accordion. Wasn't long, he said, "I can do that." And he's playing my accordion. He's still preaching the gospel. God answers prayer. I don't care if you're in Guatemala, out on a burned out old volcano. God still answers prayer. Why aren't you praying? You got great big burdens. You got great big problems. You got things that are happening to your family. You got little kids growing up going to make decisions. You got young people going to get married. Why aren't you praying? Amen. Believers can pray. Everybody can pray. Sometimes people will come to me and say, "Brother Linda, we want you to pray for this." And you know, the idea is they can't pray. Or I can pray better. You know, the truth of the matter is you can pray as well as I can. You see, God understands every language in the world. I hear some people talking about praying in the language of angels. You don't need to pray in the language of angels. God's the greatest interpreter there ever was. Do you know there's not a language you can speak He doesn't understand? You know what? Even if you can't speak it, He can understand what's in your heart. You don't need any special language to pray. You can pray in English, you can pray in Spanish, you can pray in Chinese, you can pray in Mandarin, you can pray in Poland. And in your broken Poland, I'll bet you God understands everything you want. Everybody can pray. Everybody can't preach. Everybody can't repair cars. Everybody can't teach school. Everybody can pray. But oh, my friend, one day, maybe very soon, your prayers will be ended. Remember that first song we sung? "Sweet Hour of Prayer"? And as the songwriter saying, "As I leave this earth, I'll say farewell, sweet hour of prayer." You're not going to need a sweet hour of prayer in heaven. Hey, the battles are going to be over as far as you're concerned. They're going to be won or they're going to be lost or they're going to be over. My friend, you're not going to need to get out on your knees and pray for an hour or 15 minutes or 5 minutes or pray all day long. No, you're not going to need prayer in heaven. You need prayer right here. You need prayer right now. You need prayer for your children. God help some of your children. You parents are too busy to pray. Somebody called me on the phone the other day and said, "You have an unusual family. All your children are saved and all your children are living for the Lord." I said, "Yes, it is an unusual family." You know what the number one prayer of my life has been since my kids were born? For my children to live for God, my children to be saved. You ought to be praying for your children. God help your parents. You talk about falling down on the job. You're falling down on the job. If you don't every day call your children out before God and ask God to bless them and ask God to protect them, you ought to be praying for your pastors. Some of you think, "Well, I didn't like that sermon, or that was too long, or that was too loud, or that was too harsh." Why don't you pray for us a little better? We might preach better. You ought to be praying for your Sunday school teachers. You ought to be praying for this church.
You ought to be praying for the families here instead of saying, why, there's a family that's quit, there's a family that's down, there's a family that's breaking up. Why don't you get on your face and pray before God that God would change some of these things, that He'd put some of these people back together, give some of them to just plain, simple, old-fashioned horse sense. That's what most of you need. You got enough education. You understand, I'm very well educated. I got an awful lot of college hours. When you get a bachelor's degree, you learn a little bit about a lot of things. When you get a master's degree, you narrow it down and you learn a whole lot about a few specific things. And then when you go for the doctor's degree, you learn everything you can about less and less until you know almost everything about nothing. That's the truth. You know what you need? What my daddy would say was horse sense. Some common sense. Change your marriage if you had a little common sense. Won't you pray for God to give you some common sense? Some of you are so smart, you could answer all the questions on Jeopardy, but you can't get in out of the rain. What you need is some old-fashioned common sense. And ask God to give your kids some common sense. I know my daddy, he would walk around worrying about me. He would say, oh, how I wish I could put a 40-year-old head in a 17-year-old body. It hasn't been done yet. Doesn't work that way. But I tell you what, you 40-year-olds can pray for those 17-year-olds. You can pray for God to protect them in their stupidity, and then you can pray for God to give them some good old-fashioned horse sense and common sense. You can pray for God to have mercy far and beyond their wisdom so that they can make some decisions that won't hurt them 20 years and 30 years down the line. Everybody can pray. Why don't you do more of it? David was a man of prayer. A great man of prayer. He knew how to praise God. He knew how to get before God and walk out and fight Goliath. He knew how to get before God and unite a kingdom. He knew how to get before God and confess his sins. He was a sinner. He knew how to confess his sins before God. What happens to a nation when a David finishes praying? What happens? What difference will it make when you quit praying? There was a missionary 100 and some odd years ago named C.T. Studd. He was a great cricket player in England before he got saved and surrendered to go to the mission field. Very wealthy man. He took his money and divided it up. He said, you know what I want? I want to live my life so that when I die, Satan will throw a party that he doesn't have to deal with the prayers of C.T. Studd anymore. How about a little guts and gumption? How about a little fight in you? How about getting on your face before God Almighty and asking Him for something that'll change heaven? How about asking Him to redeem some lives, some souls? This town is full of lost people. We don't have to go to Poland to find lost people. We don't have to go to Mexico to find lost people. San Antonio's loaded. Get on your face and pray for San Antonio. Get on your face and pray for a revival in the church. Get on your face and pray for every preacher out there. Born again and saved. David comes down to the end and he says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. And I think, oh no, we can't stop. We can't let David stop. David's been praying too long. Man, David's got tremendous answer to prayer. David's brought tremendous victory. We don't want David to stop. But everybody stops. I'm going to stop. And you're going to stop. I'm not stopped yet. I haven't quit today. I'm still praying. You ought to be praying. But my friend, get a hold of it. I know you're young and you got all sorts of vim and vigor and life is out there with so many opportunities and so many responsibilities and you're so busy, you don't know that just in a couple of weeks you're going to be where I am. It happens like that. You talk to some of these older people, some of these people with white hair like that lady right there. She's not a spring chicken anymore. I've known her too long. You know what? Her past life went that fast. Just that fast. It didn't take any time at all. And the day's going to come when they're going to write on you. They might even write it on your epitaph or somebody's going to put it on a piece of paper. The prayers of so-and-so are ended. Whatever praying you were going to do, whatever work you were going to accomplish, whatever thing you were going to complete for God Almighty, it's over. So you better use the opportunity you have right now. You better use the opportunity you have right now. You know, there's another verse I'd like to go to. 1 Peter 4:7. 1 Peter 4:7. Listen to what Peter has to say. We heard about David when he was an old man. I'll preach all those sermons for you. Look what Peter says as an old man.
The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves.
End of all things is at hand.
Oh, build you a bigger barn. I just built one. Build you a better house. That's fine. Buy you a new car. Enjoy it. But understand, every bit of it's a piece of junk waiting. Just waiting. That new Cadillac you're driving, just a piece of junk waiting for the junkyard. Just 10 or 12 years or maybe today. Nothing you have in this life is permanent, and the only thing you have permanent is what you have with God. Instead of building your life on everything that's here, wake up and realize my prayers are going to end, my works are going to end, my life's going to end, my hopes are going to end. Everything I've planned for is going to come to a finish, and I better get right with God. The end of all things at hand. You know what? God's going to change this whole thing. Isn't that hard to believe? Stock market keeps going up, man, hit 10,000. Somebody says it might go to 12. Somebody says it'll go back to 4. Who knows? Things just keep going. I mean, governments get bigger. Wonderful things are happening. They're making greater and better computers. They're getting ready to find a cure for diabetes. Oh, they're trying to cure cancer. Some things they get. War, wonderful things are happening. And you don't realize that the end of all things is at hand. What ought that to do for us? You ought to be sober and watch under prayer. What ought that to make you do? The end of all things is at hand. The end of my life, the end of my ministry, the end of my family, the end of my work, the end of my opportunity is at hand. What ought that to do to us? It ought to make us pray. We ought to hold our kids close and our hearts with prayer. And we ought to hold our mothers and fathers close. And we ought to hold our neighbors and friends close. We ought to hold our church close and the missionaries and the preaching of their gospel and a poor lost world ought to come into our prayer. Because the end of all things is at hand. So in all of our good times, in all of our dreams, in all of our things, we ought to watch under prayer. We ought to spend some time praying. We ought to get up in the night and talk to the Lord. We ought to get up in the morning and talk to the Lord. You ought to be praying. Go back to the Psalm. Look at verse 18. I'll tell you, David was a man with class. Call him a sinner? Yeah. He's a bloody man, a soldier? Yeah, that's right. He made some decisions I thought were pretty wrong. Yep, that's right. You can look at him and you can judge him. But the man knew how to praise God. The man knew how to glorify God. Look at that. Verse 18. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. You know, it wouldn't hurt you to get up in the morning and say, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Amen. You know, that might start your day off a little better. Amen. Hey, when you went to bed tonight, you might say, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Blessed be His name. You know, that might make you sleep better. Might be better than Valium. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. What a wonderful thing. Everything God does is wonderful. I look at the earth and it's wonderful. I look at my body and I think it's wonderful. I look at what God has done in nature. It's wonderful. I look at His salvation. I think it's wonderful. Everything He does is wonderful. He only doeth wondrous things. God's so big. God's so smart. God's so great. Everything He does is a marvelous thing. Blessed be His glorious name forever. Oh, my friend, let me tell you something. Blessed be His glorious name forever. Let me tell you something about the name. The name is Jesus Christ. That's the name of God. Jesus Christ is God. Let me tell you about that name. My Bible declares there's salvation in no other name. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not your churchianity. You can be a member of 15 churches and go to hell. It's not your good works. None of you are good enough. I know some of you are pretty good. Some of you are better than some other people. But you're not good enough. I spent my life dealing with people. And the very best people I know are sinners. And the very worst are just worse sinners. And the Bible says, God speaking, He said, verily I say unto you, man at his best state is altogether vanity. At his best state. There is a name given among men that if you call on that name and ask for mercy, God will hear that prayer. God will hear that prayer. You know, when I was lost and running, living my life, sowing my wild oats, there was in the back of my head what had been preached to me or taught to me, that when you come to the place you'll repent and call upon God, He'll hear you. I didn't know much about this Bible 40-something years ago, but you know what I did? I called on God. In a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico, God hears prayer from Roswell, New Mexico. Roswell! Roswell, New Mexico! God hears prayer from Roswell, New Mexico! You think you won't hear prayer from San Antonio? Yeah, you will.
I called on God and said, forgive me, save me. And he did it 41 years ago. Wow. God hears prayer. Let me tell you something so simple. You're here today, maybe you're a young person. Maybe you're 13, 14, 17, 21. Maybe you're 45. Maybe you're 82. I don't know. But if you're not saved and you've been trusting your religion or your good works to get you to heaven, you're going to hell. Let me tell you, the only one can save your soul is God. I can't save your soul. Baptismal waters out there can't save your soul. Coming to this church every service, every time it's open and standing on the doors outside when it's not open won't get you to heaven. But if you'll repent of your sins, ask God to forgive you of your sins and say, God have mercy upon me, a sinner. The name of Jesus Christ is a strong tower. Righteous runneth into it and be saved. He said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's a prayer you can pray and God will answer. God forgive me in all my pride. God forgive me of my religion. God forgive me of my sin. Have mercy upon me and save my soul. That's a prayer God will answer. He'll answer it this morning just like that. Doesn't take a long time to get saved. It just takes a sincere prayer of repentance before God. Trust Jesus Christ. None of the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's another thing I want you to understand about this prayer and God. God isn't worried whether you're black or white or anything in between. God isn't worried whether you're old or young or anything in between. God isn't worried whether you smoke or drink or that you're sitting on death row. The same payment for sin is good for all. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That one sacrifice made for sins forever is all that you need. It's absolutely sufficient. And there's a verse in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You say, but you don't know what I've done. No, but I know what Jesus said. I presented that gospel to murderers and seen them get saved. They're going to be people that raped and murdered in heaven because they repented of their sins and called upon Jesus Christ. Amen. And they're going to be some preachers in hell because they in their pride wouldn't repent of their sin and call upon Jesus Christ. They're going to be sweet little grandmas in hell because they didn't repent of their pride and call upon Jesus Christ. Man or woman, boy or girl, listen to me. He said, him that'll come unto me, will you come? That's the only real problem. Will you come? It's not whether or not Jesus will accept you. He will accept you. It's not whether or not he's got the power to save you. Oh, he's got the power. It's not whether or not he can keep you. Oh, he can keep you. The problem is, will you come? I'm not talking about walking an aisle in the church. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about coming to Jesus. Jesus is in spirit. And in your spirit, you go to him by prayer. You ask him to have mercy and save you, and he saves the soul and changes the life. And everybody Jesus saves, he changes. Be warned, everybody Jesus saves, he changes. I wouldn't want it any other way. If you have religion and you've never been changed in your heart, you better doubt your salvation. Because Jesus saves those, changes those he saves. See, the problem is, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The problem is not on God's part. The problem is on your part. Whosoever will. You know, one day, a little over 40 years ago, I said, that must mean me. He said, whosoever. He said, whosoever. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Lendell Kincaid. I'm part of the world. That he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. That whosoever, that if Lendell Kincaid would believe in him, he'd have everlasting life. Isn't that beautiful? What an opportunity. What a blessing. Maybe you haven't spent much time praying. Why don't you start today? Why don't the very first beginning of your prayer life be, Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. Have mercy upon my soul and save me. I ask it in Jesus' name. Let's turn to number 249. Stand and sing number 249. My friend, if you're here without Jesus Christ, would you trust him as your Savior? Today's the day and now's the time. Right now you can just call upon God. He'll save your soul. My Christian friend, one day your prayers will end. I hope they haven't ended already. One day your prayers will end. Don't quit praying yet. Oh, when you look at a man like David,
prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. But I'm still praying. What David can't do, I can do. And what David can't do, you can do, because you can still pray. Pray for those kids. Pray for that family. Pray for that marriage. Pray for this church. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for your pastors. May God make you a people of prayer. This invitation is open. Whatever the Lord's laid upon your heart, let's sing it. 249. While the musicians continue to play, you just listen to me quietly for a minute. I can't help but believe this morning someone in here is lost. You're not saved. If you died right now, you would not go to heaven. And that the Holy Spirit of God has given you an invitation in your heart to come to Him and be saved. While Christians are praying, burdened about different things, there's some people praying for you. We're going to sing one more verse. If God has spoken to your heart, don't turn Him down. The best day of my life, bar none, was the day I accepted Christ as my Savior. It'll be the same for you. I don't say it won't cost you something. It will. But I'm saying Jesus is the Savior and you need to be saved. Will you step out and take Jesus Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior? Trust Him and Him alone. Today is the day of salvation. The only time you got, you don't have a tomorrow. Today is the only time you own. If God's spoken to your heart, you do what God's put upon your heart to do. As we sing this next verse, sing it out. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd answer the prayers that are being prayed in this place today. And I pray, Lord, for all that are here. Lord, You know who's lost, who's saved. I pray to Lord You'd touch those that are lost, that they might trust You and be saved. I pray, Lord, that You would just touch and hear and answer the prayers of all of us today. God, have Your way in our lives. Lord, may we trust You enough, believe in You enough to pray to You every day, take our burdens to You, and know You'll hear and answer prayer. I ask Your blessing upon these Thy people. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good day.